بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن والاه وبعد. This evening, بإذن الله تعالى, this is going to be our 42nd session, reading from the commentaries related to العقيدة التحاوية by الإمام أبو جعفر أحمد بن محمد ابن سلامة التحاوي رحمه الله. Before we look at the statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi that we have reached, before we look at the statement for tonight, we're going to quickly review some of what we covered in last week's session from the 69th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Questionnaire study guide for lecture number 41, mention the 69th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. 69th statement, which Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, has numbered in his commentary as 152, and in the English translation as 151. 69th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. Naam. What is your name?
Kamal.
Kamal. Allahu Akbar.
ونرى الصلاة خلف كل بر وتاجر من أهل القبلة وعلى من مات منهم.
Now, okay. What's the meaning of this statement? Hanif.
We see based on the knowledge that the slot is obligatory to pray behind the man, be righteous or sinful.
And the second part of what he said? Anybody? Second part? No.
It's a prayer upon him if he dies.
Tayyip. So, the actual statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi and the explanation, let's try to separate it a little bit. Alright? Statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi, we see, yani we believe, na'taqid, we believe that the prayer behind every person, whether they are righteous or sinful, from the people of the Qibla, yani the Muslims, behind every Muslim, not just the leaders, but he's saying behind every Muslim, even though, yani in terms of our aqidah, the issue here is, for the most part, dealing with praying behind the leaders, the obligation of praying behind the Muslim leader, whether he's righteous or sinful. And also praying upon him when he dies, meaning every person from the Ahlul Qibla, every person from the Ahlul Qibla, the Muslims, praying over them when they die, whether they are righteous or sinful. It's clear? Tayyip. Question number two. Mention the first of the two issues contained in the 69th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. What is the first of those two issues that he mentions here? First of two issues. Now. Okay, praying behind Salat Khalf. Khalf what? Khalf Mahada.
Behind him.
Behind him. Okay. Praying behind every person from the Ahlul Qibla, the Muslims, whether they are righteous or sinful. The first issue is the prayer behind every person from the Ahlul Qibla, whether they are righteous or sinful. Sheikh Salih Fawzan says, khususan, especially Wulat al Umur. Especially, but not only. But especially, so be clear about this. And Imam At-Tahawi is saying, every Muslim, whether righteous or sinful. And Sheikh Salih Fawzan is saying, especially, meaning that's the real issue of concern. But the statement here is that, and we believe that it's obligatory to pray, yani, over every person from the Ahlul Qibla, every Muslim, to pray behind them, whether they are righteous or sinful, especially if they are from people who are responsible for the affairs of the Muslims. Question number three. Mention three great dangers of abandoning salat behind the rulers, whether they're righteous or wicked. Three great dangers. Muhammad? Yeah. Muhammad, mashallah, I got it. Alhamdulillah.
Separating one from the community.
Okay, separating from the community. Separation from the community, naam.
Dividing yourself from the Muslims.
Dividing yourself from the Muslims. Okay. That's like the same. Now, come on, go ahead. Okay, spilling of blood of the Muslim. Somebody give us one more point. One point that he didn't mention. Naam. Duwali.
Causing secession from the unified community.
Okay, secession from the community. He mentioned it in a different word. He mentioned that in a different with a different expression, but there's still one more point. Naam.
I was going to say like, kind of like declaring him as a Catholic. Yeah. Be like, not from him. It's not from him, but I wasn't here last week.
Okay, so this is important, very, very important. The Shaykh Ani is pretty clear in how he explained this. And he mentioned three matters. And they are closely related, but they are not the same. So we mentioned in different words, three different people, the same thing with different words, though. And we left out one thing that we didn't reach. Do you have some thought? Okay, dividing one, separating oneself from the Muslim, dividing the Muslim, still there's one matter. Nope. No. Well, obedience. Yani, especially to the Muslim ruler, obedience. This, yani, not praying behind the Muslim ruler is an act of disobedience to the Muslim ruler. Separating yourself is one thing, dividing the Muslims, obedience, the point of obedience. This is very important. Yani, disobedience, yani, this causes disobedience, and disobedience causes separation and causes spilling of blood. Yani, disobedience to the ruler. Question number 4. Sheikh Salih Fawzan, Hafizullah, says that the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah is to pray the Jumu'ah, yani the weekly congregational prayer and the major congregational prayers, like the Eid and the prayer and the Hajj and like this. He said this is from the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Can somebody complete his statement? What else did he say? Naam. Okay, even if they're righteous or not righteous. But he also said something else. Besides the prayers behind the rulers, Naam. Nasir?
Yeah, we do jihad behind every emir.
Fighting in jihad. Yani, fighting in jihad behind the emir. What is righteous or sinful? But there's still one more point that he made. Naam, Ali.
Whether he's righteous or sinful, as long as he has not left Islam.
As long as he has not gone out of Islam. Okay, so we don't have a lot of time, so but I have to say that it is important to read carefully the statements of the scholars and to understand what they are saying, what is the significance of what they're saying. And if he's saying that it's from the madhab of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah to pray behind the leader, behind the ruler, behind the imam, whether he's righteous or sinful. And he's saying to fight in jihad behind the ruler, whether he's righteous or sinful, it's very important, yani, to understand that these are two matters. Yani, praying behind the imam is one thing, fighting in jihad is another thing, whether he's righteous or sinful is another thing, as long as he didn't go out of Islam is another thing that's very, very important. Yani, he's not saying that to fill up the space with words. As long as he didn't go out of Islam. For you. And the questions, almost 99% of the time, are directly from the text of Sheikh Salih Fawzan's commentary. Even though we're reading some other commentaries, but the questions are directly from the text of the book. So if a person didn't know how to take good notes, okay, just go back and get the book, the PDF file, you don't even have to buy it. PDF file is available. Arabic is available, English is available. It's important that we examine these statements of the scholars carefully. That is really the point, that we look at their language, the speech that they use, and examine the words. Yani, that have meaning. They're not just speaking haphazardly like we do. They actually are choosing their words. This is a major scholar. These are real major scholars. And when they speak carefully. They understand what they're saying. Their choice of words are important. Question number 5. The second. Mention the second of the two issues contained in the 69th statement of Al-Imam At-Tahawi. The second of the two issues. Now, Dawood.
The second issue is that salat is to be prayed over all the dead Muslims, even if they were sinners, as long as they did not apostatize.
Now, okay. The second issue, the first issue is prayer behind the imam, whether he's righteous or otherwise, especially the rulers of the Muslims. The second issue is prayer over the Muslim, every person from Ahlul Qibla, whether he's righteous or unrighteous, praying over him, yani for the janazah, whether he's righteous or unrighteous. And he also added to that the condition as, that I just mentioned a little while ago, emphasized, as long as what? He didn't go out of Islam. As long as he didn't go out of Islam. Meaning that a person might be sinful, they might be corrupt, they might be whatever, whatever, whatever. As long as it didn't take them out of Islam, they're still a Muslim. So you pray for them. If they went out of Islam, they're not a Muslim. So there's no prayer for them. Even if we like them or whatever, right? For you. According to Shaykh Salih Fawzan, who has the right to make the hukum, the judgment of ridda, apostasy against someone? Of this, Abdul Wali. The people of knowledge and insight are those who have the right to make a ruling of ridda, to say this person has gone out of Islam, he's an apostate. The people of knowledge and insight, the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. Can such, question number 7, can such a hukum of ridda, meaning that a person became an apostate, can this be made by ordinary people as long as the person making the judgment has good intentions? And as long as the person means well, they don't mean any harm? No? No, huh? Okay. Good. Why no? Why no? No. Because what we just said, that this is the, this hukum, this judgment, is for the people of knowledge, the people of insight, the people who are firmly grounded in knowledge. It's not just for everybody to do, just however they feel, they think, that's the way I see it, that's my opinion. Otherwise, all of us would already have been knocked off. Because there are people who, that's their pastime, making judgments on people. And Imam Tawawi talks about that tonight. Last question, what are the two evidences mentioned by Imam Al-Albani, rahimahullah, in support of the 69th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi? What are the two evidences, yani? We mentioned some of those evidences in detail from the examination of Al-Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, and Shaykh Al-Albani, rahimahullah, mentions, summarizes them. Give me one of them. Naam, one. Okay, so some of the companions, they used to pray behind Al-Hajjaj ibn Yusuf. Naam, and he was a zalim, and he was a fasiq. That's not what Shaykh al-Albani said, but yeah, that's correct though. But what did Shaykh al-Albani said? And I just said that we mentioned some of the details from the explanation of Ibn Abi al-Izz, but Shaykh al-Albani summarized it. What did he say in summary? What did he say in summary? The first point he mentioned.
That the prayer is an act of good.
Shaykh al-Fawzan said that. Naam. One evidence, from all the evidences that we mentioned from Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz, summarize them into one. Shaykh al-Albani summarized all of those narrations into one summary, one point. Naam, Abdul Wali.
Because we do not face anyone in the paradise or the hellfire, we only go by what is apparent.
That's true, but that's not the answer to this question. Okay. Huh? That's the second evidence that he mentioned. What's the first evidence that... I know that we don't have, most of us, we don't have any notes. But some people reading from Arabic, from that book right there, has the statements of Shaykh al-Albani and Shaykh Salih Fawzan. So it's there, in that book. It may not be in all of our books. It's not in the English translation, Shaykh Salih Fawzan. The first evidence that he mentioned is the summary of what Ibn Abi al-Izz said, rahimahullah, and that is, the practice, the ongoing practice of Sahaba, that they used to pray behind the rulers, wicked or sinful, or righteous or sinful. So Imam Ibn Abi al-Izz mentioned a lot of narrations. Shaykh al-Albani just mentioned one thing. All of those narrations are proof that this was the practice of Sahaba. And their practice is sufficient for us as evidence. The Sahaba used to do it. Is that enough? That's enough. Without knowing all the narrations, he mentioned one of them. And there are others that we mentioned last week. But the main thing is, this was the ongoing practice of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ. And that's sufficient as a proof. The second evidence he mentioned, Adu. Yani the Prophet ﷺ said in reference to the Imams that they are performing the prayer on behalf of you. So if they do it right, and Asabu, if they hit it, they got the mark, they did it correctly, then it's for you and it's for them. And it's to your credit and their credit. When akhtau, but if they made a mistake or error or they messed it up, then it's lakum wa alayhim. Then it's to your credit. You still get credit. But it's upon them. Yani the sin or the defect or whatever is upon them alone. This is a proof, right? This is a proof because the argument of the people is these people are sinful, they're corrupt, whatever. Prophet is saying, doesn't matter. If they do it right, you got it. If they do it wrong, you still got it. The wrong is against them. Okay, this is a summary. And I don't know how much time we took, but I'm sure we took more time than we needed to. Allahu musta'an. This is a summary of some of the points that we covered last week. And this topic is a very important topic. It is a very important topic. And yani, these topics are important. Why? Because these are the things that are the foundation of our deen, our aqidah. This is the foundation of the deen. That's necessary for every Muslim. Male and female, young and old, new and old. And all of us need to have a strong foundation. And the books of aqidah are our foundation. Especially these summarized books, because they are designed to bring out, to clarify, to point, to focus on the issues where people have gone astray. So we will know this is a point where they went astray here, they went astray there, they went away, and what is, so we know what's correct. This is very, very important. Tonight, bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, we're going to look at the 70th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi. And Shaykh Salih Fawzan, hafidhahullah, has divided this statement into three parts. He says that Al-Imam Al-Tahawi, rahimahullah, said, وَلَا نُنَزِّلُ أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ جَنَّةً وَلَا نَارًا. Yani, we do not nunazzilu, we don't place anyone from amongst them. From who? From amongst who? Minhum. Yani, what was he talking about? أَحَدًا مِّنْهُمْ أَهْلُ Qibla. We don't place any one of the Ahlul Qibla, the people of Islam, the Muslims. We don't put them into Jannah or Naar. Yani we cannot say yani conclusively that anybody is in the paradise or in the hellfire. The second part of the statement, of the 70th statement of Imam Al-Tahawi says, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Nor do we testify against them, yani charge them, accuse them of kufr. وَلَا بِشِرْكْ وَلَا نِفَاقْ. We don't charge them with kufr, nor with worshipping something besides Allah, associating something with Allah, nor with hypocrisy. No one from the Ahlul Qibla, the Muslims, do we testify against saying that they have engaged in kufr, or in shirk, or in nifaq. He says, مَا لَمْ يَظْهَرْ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٌ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. As long as none of those things have openly appeared from them. As long as we haven't seen them doing something that indicates kufr or shirk or nifaq, we don't have any right to charge anybody with anything. I think, I feel, he's a hypocrite, I know it, I can tell, I feel like this, that, or the other. Yani, based on what? We do not. وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Any person from Ahlul Qibla. Not just your friends. Everybody has this right. That you don't accuse them of kufr or shirk or hypocrisy. مَا لَمْ يَظْهَرْ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٌ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. As long as none of these things have appeared openly from them. You didn't see it. You can't imagine it in your mind. And the third part of the statement of Imam Al-Tahawi, وَنَظَرُوا سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. And we leave their secrets, yani the things that they believe that's in their heart, or the things that they do in secret or say in secret, we leave that to Allah the Most High. We don't know about what's in somebody's heart or what they're doing secretly. And we leave that to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are the three parts of the statement of Imam Al-Tahawi, the 70th statement of Al-Imam Al-Tahawi rahimahullah. The first part, we don't place any one of the people of the Qibla in Jannah or Naar. Yani we don't yani designate or decide that this person is going to be in paradise and that person is going to be in the hellfire. The Shaykh says, نَحْنُ لَا نَشْهَدُ لِأَحَدٍ مَحْمَا بَلَغَ مِنَ الصَّلَاعِ وَالتُّقَى لَا نَشْهَدُ لَهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. Yani we do not bear witness or testify or claim that anyone is in the paradise, no matter what he has reached of righteousness and piety, no matter what level of righteousness and piety that we see outwardly, that we see, because that's, we don't know what's in the heart, we only know what we see. But no matter how, what level of righteousness the person has reached, we do not testify, claim that this person is in the paradise. لِأَنَّنَا لَا نَعْلَمُ الْغَيْبِ. And he explains why. Why? Because we don't know the ghayb. How the righteous a person may appear. We don't know secretly what's really going on. We don't know the reality of what's inside the heart. We don't know that. Only Allah knows that. For that reason, you can't. I don't care what a person shows outwardly. You can't say this person is guaranteed to be in the paradise. Of course, we're going to have some further discussion about this. That's anyway, what the Shaykh is saying here. So we don't judge. لا نحكم لأحد من المسلمين بالنار. Likewise, we don't make a judgment against any one of the Muslims that they're going to be in the hellfire. مهما عمل من المعاصي. No matter how, what kind of sins or how many sins they have done. And we cannot say this guy did a lot of sins, خلاص, he's in the hellfire. The Ahl al-Sunnah wal-Jama'ah, we don't do that. We don't declare, judge, rule somebody to be in the hellfire. لِأَنَّنَا لَا نَدْرِي بِمَا خُتِمَ لَهُ وَمَا مَاتَ عَلَيْهِ. Why? Why can't we do that? Because we don't know what this person's life will end upon. What his life will be sealed upon. We don't know what he dies upon. We don't know what he's going to die upon. A person is doing a lot of sins, and guess what? Maybe they repent. Remember the hadith of the man who did the actions of the people of paradise until he was armed enough from the paradise, and that which is decreed overcame him, and he began to do the deeds of the people of hellfire, and he ended hellfire. And the opposite also. A person doing all the sins that you can imagine until he's almost in the hellfire, and then that which is decreed overcame him, and he began to do the deeds of the people of paradise, and he ended the paradise. We don't know what a person is going to die upon. Here he mentions a hadith. The hadith of Sahal ibn Sa'd al-Sa'di radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, innama al-a'malu bil khawatimiha. That actions are upon, and he will be judged by the end. And what a person dies upon. And we don't know what a person is going to die upon. So we can't say he's doing a lot of sins, he's doing all kind of stuff, he's whatever. We don't know a person is going to die upon. He said, وَهَذَا فِي الْمُعَيَّنِ. Yani that this position that we don't declare anybody in paradise or hellfire is in reference to specific particular individuals. Any particular individual. We can't say about an individual. Meaning that groups of people, we might have a different ruling. But individuals, we can't take an individual and say he's in the paradise or in the hellfire. And there's some more kalam coming after this, right? He said, وَنَحْنُ مَا لَنَا إِلَّا الظَّاهِرُ فَقَدْ. Yani all that we have is what we see outwardly, openly. That's all we have. We don't know the inner reality that Allah is going to judge by. All we have is the zahir, what we see. And some of us know, and I don't want to go into any details of that, but some of us know that what we see may not be the reality. Some of us know that. وكذلك لا يحكم لأحد بالنار إلا من شهد له بذلك الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم سواء بجنة أو نار. And similarly, it should not be ruled. A ruling should not be made for anyone that that person is going to be in the hellfire unless the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم has borne witness to this, has testified that this person specifically is going to be in the hellfire. For example, we know that Abu Talib, the Prophet ﷺ's uncle, is in the hellfire. Because the hadith, the Prophet clearly stated that he will be the least punished person in the hellfire, but he's going to be in the hellfire. We know that Abu Lahab is in the hellfire because Allah mentions that in the Quran. And he textual wording from the Quran. So unless the Prophet ﷺ has stated that, then we don't say anybody's going to be in the hellfire. Nobody at all. And this is the same for claiming somebody's in the paradise of the hellfire. مِثْلُ الْعَشَرُ الْمُبَشِّرِينَ بِالْجَنَّةِ. And an example of this, of the Prophet ﷺ testifying for somebody, specific individual, that person is in the paradise, are the 10 people who were promised paradise. And the Prophet ﷺ mentioned them in one hadith, that Abu Bakr is in Jannah, wa Umar fil Jannah, wa Uthman fil Jannah, wa Ali fil Jannah. And he mentioned 10 of his companions while they were living. He said these people are in the Jannah. So, we cannot claim any specific individuals in the paradise with the exception of what? That there's a textual evidence proving that that specific individual is in the paradise. And the Shaykh says, the 10 people were promised giving the good news of paradise and they are the Khulafa al-Rashidun al-Arba'. Yani the 4 rightly guided Khalifas, that's Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum, was Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas, was Sa'id ibn Zayd, ibn Amr, ibn Nufayl, and Abd al-Rahman ibn Auf and Az-Zubayr ibn al-Awam and Abu Ubaidah, Amir ibn al-Jarrah and Talha ibn Ubaidullah radiyallahu anhum ajma'in. May Allah be pleased with all of them. And if we tell our children that if they know any famous singer or basketball player or entertainer, that they need to know these people, well, we need to know them first before we tell our children. Before we tell them we need to learn who these people are, we need to learn them ourselves. We need to know who these people are. These are the important personalities in history after the prophets and messengers, the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And these are from the best of them, people who during the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told them, informed them that they're going to be in paradise. وَكَذَلِكْ شَهِدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّمْ لِثَابِتْ ibn Qais. And similarly, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam bore witness for Thabit ibn Qais ibn Shammas al-Ansari radiallahu anhu. شَهِدَ لَهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ. He bore witness that he would be in the paradise. And there's a footnote here in reference to the 10 people promised paradise. I'm just going to kind of read through it quickly for the sake of time. But it's a hadith that's narrated from Sa'id ibn Zayd. From Sa'id ibn Zayd. And he's one of the 10 people promised paradise. It says that he narrated to some people that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, 10 people are in the paradise. Abu Bakr is in the paradise, Umar is in the paradise, and Uthman, and Ali, and Zubair, and Talha, and Abdul Rahman, and Abu Ubaidah, and Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas. He said, he numbered these 9 people. And then he remained silent about the 10th. About the 10th. He didn't mention who is the 10th. The people said, we ask you in the name of Allah. Ya Aba A'awar. That was his kunya. And he's Sa'id ibn Zayd. Who is the 10th? He said, there's 10 people. Who's the 10th? And he said, you have asked me in the name of Allah. Abu Al-Awar. He is yani in Jannah. Abu Awar is who? Sa'id ibn Zayd, the narrator of the hadith. This hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi, and Abu Isa said, Abu Awar who was Sa'id ibn Zayd, yani the At-Tirmidhi said that was himself that he had left out from that narration. Now, so after this, the Shaykh says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam also bore witness for Thabit ibn Qais, Shammas al-Ansari radiallahu anhu, that he's in paradise. And he also bore witness as we have seen in our own readings for many other companions. And now is not the time to mention them, but from amongst them, from amongst the people of paradise, from amongst the companions of the Prophet, from the most famous of them is who? Promised paradise, besides the 10 that we just mentioned. What about the yes? Huh? Bilal ibn Rabah radiallahu anhu, the muezzin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. From the most famous of them is Bilal radiallahu anhu. And from them, famous of them. You don't have to go far from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's family. Any? Huh? Huh? Fatima, the Prophet's daughter. Naam, radiallahu anha. And still in the Prophet's family. Don't go out any place else. Huh? Hassan and Hussein, the leaders, Sayyida, Shabab Ahl al-Jannah, the leaders of the youth in Jannah. And there's lots of other people, and just to make us think, I'm only just doing this to make us think a little bit, that we need to know. These are people who have promised paradise in their lifetime. We need to know who these people are. Okay, and there's a narration here that inshallah maybe further encourages us. The Prophet, the Shaykh, he says, كَذَلِكْ رَجُلٌ مِنَ الْأَنصَارِ. Also there was a man from amongst the Ansar. And before we read this hadith, I'm going to say, a lot of the scholars who are meticulous in hadith consider this hadith to be weak. Okay? I mean, I'm not saying that's a final answer on the matter, but a lot of the scholars who are meticulous in hadith consider this hadith to be weak. In any case, the Shaykh mentions it here, and the hadith is reported by Imam Ahmad in his Musnad, and Abdul Razak in his Musannaf, and Al-Baghawi in Sharh Sunnah, and Al-Nasai in Amal Al-Yawm Wal-Layla, and Al-Bayhaqi in Shur' Iman. And these are all scholars of hadith mentioned in their famous books. Also, they mention this hadith. So it's not like we're just dismissing it. But I'm just saying, for the sake of clarity, there's some question about the authenticity of the hadith. A man from amongst the Ansar. He said, يَدْخُلْ عَلَيْكُمْ يعني the Prophet ﷺ said, يَدْخُلْ عَلَيْكُمْ رَجُلٌ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ A man is going to enter upon you from the people of Jannah. Allahu Akbar. So a man entered with his beard dripping from the water of the wadu, yani the water that he made wudu with. And in his left hand he had his sandals. And then he sat in the gathering. وفي اليوم الثاني والثالث قال عليه الصلاة والسلام نفس المقالة. And the next day, and the third day, the Prophet ﷺ said the same thing, a man from the people of Jannah is going to enter upon you. And the same man entered. وهذا من باب التأكيد. وإلا فالشهادة واحدة تكفي. يعني the Prophet is just emphasizing the matter, otherwise him saying that one time is sufficient. So Abdullah ibn Amr ibn al-As radiallahu anhuma followed this man so that he can know what is his deed, what is his action that is the cause of him being given the good news of paradise. And he wants to know, this is the present of people, about I need to see what is he doing. And we need to know, what did these people do? The people that the Prophet promised in their lifetime, what did they do? Like, we need to be, do we want to know that, or it doesn't matter? Like we can just figure it out on our own. We can look at these people's lives and learn something from that. These are people promised paradise in their lifetime. So he followed him to see what it was that was the reason for him being given good news of the paradise. So he didn't find him doing a lot of worship, and a lot of extra worship. But he found him guarding, protecting, and preserving the obligatory duties. And he found him getting up in the night. He found him, and if anybody remembers any the daily routine of the student of knowledge, what Shaykh Uthaymeen said, and from the things that the student of knowledge has to adhere to, the obligatory duties, first and foremost, and getting up in the night, and praising and glorifying Allah when a person gets up in the night, and praying the tahajjud prayer. He said he found this man, not doing a lot of extra stuff, but he found him guarding the obligatory duties. And that's what brings a person near to Allah, is more beloved to Allah than anything else. To get near to Allah is the obligatory duties. And then a person continues to get near to Allah by what? Nawafil. So he found him guarding the obligatory duties, and he found him getting up in the night. And when he used to get up in the night, he used to dhikr, yani dhikr Allah, wa sabbaha wa halla. Yani he got up in the night and he praised Allah, and he glorified Allah, declared his tasbih and his perfection, and he said, La ilaha illallah. He did that, that's what he used to do when he would wake up, in addition to, يعني يقوم من الليل, يعني praying in the night. So when Abdullah went to leave this man, he said to him, upon leaving, I heard the Messenger of Allah, alayhi salatu wasalam, saying, such and such and so and so, يعني that a man is about to enter you from the people of paradise, and then you entered. He said, I heard him saying this. So I wanted to know, I wanted to see, what was the amal, what was the deed, that what was you doing, yani that due to which you are guaranteed paradise. The man said, ما هو إلا ما رأيت. It's nothing more than what you saw, that's it, I'm not doing nothing special. So when he turned away, the man called him back and said, wait a minute, إلا أنني لأجد في قلبي غلا على المسلم. Except one thing, I don't keep, any ill feeling for any Muslim in my heart. And Abdullah said, Hada الذي لا نطيقه. He said, this is it. This is what we are not all able to do. And this is what we are not able to do. To keep our hearts pure for the Muslims. The Shaykh says, in summary, the Prophet ﷺ, if he bore witness for anyone that person is in paradise, then we also bear witness that person is in paradise. وَنَقْطَعُ لَهُ بِالْجَنَّةِ And we, yani, are decisive, yani, we are certain about that person being in paradise. And we are certain about it. It's not perhaps, maybe, likely. No, نَقْطَعُ, we say with certainty that person who the Prophet ﷺ said is in paradise. وأما غيره فلا نقطع له. As for other than him, then and we can't say with certainty about anyone. ولكن نرجو له الخير. But we, and for the people of goodness that look like maybe they're going to be from the people of paradise, we have hope. يعني for خير for them. And likewise, وكذلك الكافر المعين. And similarly, the particular specific individual kafir. And kafirs in general is one thing, but a particular kafir, he said, لا نحكم عليه بالنار. We do not rule or judge that particular man right there, that kafir over there, that he's in the hellfire. Particular person, no. We can't do that. Why? I'm sorry. Jazakallah khair. I needed that. لأنه قد يتوب ويموت على التوبة. Why is it that we can't say that the kafir is going to be in the hellfire? Because he's still living. And he might repent. And he might die upon his repentance. ويختم له بخير. And his life will be sealed with goodness. Like the person who did the deeds of the people of hellfire until he was armed them from the hellfire, and that which is written overcame and began to do the deeds of the people of paradise, and he entered the paradise. That hadith should be scary for us. That should be scary. He said, we can't say that a particular kafir is in the hellfire because we don't know. He might repent and die upon his repentance, and his life will be sealed upon good. However, we fear for him. And we fear for that kafir as we fear for the sinner, because we know, yani, that it looks where they're going. But we can't say with certainty. We just fear for them. هذا من باب التعيين. Here the Shaykh said, this is specifically in reference to particular individuals, specific individuals, declaring somebody specifically to be in the paradise or in the hellfire, except that the Prophet ﷺ, what came in the textual evidence, clearly that this person is in the paradise or the hellfire. أما من حيث الأموم, but generally speaking, فَنَقْتَعُوا أَنَّ الْمُسْلِمِينَ فِي الْجَنَّةِ. Then we can say with certainty that the Muslims generally are going to be in the paradise, and we can say with certainty that the disbelievers are from the people of the hellfire. Okay, there's a difference between saying a particular person and saying general. Generally, the Muslims are going to be in paradise. And generally, the kafirs are going to be in hellfire. And from the evidence of that, and the Shaykh didn't mention it here, but there are lots of evidences in the Quran. So to Kaf, 18th Surah, 157th Ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ كَانَتْ لَهُمْ جَنَّاتُ الْفِرْدَوْسِ نُزُلًا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, definitely, certainly, those who believe and do righteous deeds, they will, yani, have gardens. They will be in gardens in Firdaus, Nuzulan, yani. That will be the diafa of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the people who believe and do good deeds, that He will host them in Jannah, in Jannah. And this ayat has some tafsirs that are interesting, but not time. In Surah Al-Nisa, 4th Surah, 56th ayat, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بِآيَاتِنَا سَوْفَ نُسْلِيهِمْ نَارًا. That definitely, certainly, those who disbelieve in our ayat, we will place them into the hellfire. They will be in the hellfire. So generally speaking, we can say the Muslims are going to be in the paradise and the kafirs are going to be in the hellfire, but specifically, that's not for us to say. The second statement of Al-Imam al-Tahawi, the second part of the 70th statement, وَلَا نَشْهَدُ عَلَيْهِمْ بِكُفْرٍ وَلَا بِشِرْكٍ وَلَا بِنِفَاقٍ مَا لَمْ يَظْهَرْ مِنْهُمْ شَيْءٌ مِنْ ذَلِكَ. And as far as the Ahlul Qibla, the people, the Muslims, we don't testify against them or claim or accuse them of kufr or shirk or hypocrisy as long as none of those things have openly appeared from them. We didn't see them doing it. We can't just imagine it or wish or hope or just declare because I don't like them that this person has kufr or shirk or nifaq. And some people are making judgments, some people declaring this person to be astray and this person, and they haven't seen them doing anything astray. Sheikh Salih Sayyid, he said, I asked him, this guy, who's making all these claims, the person is a deviant and all that. He said, I pulled him outside. This is recorded in a public gathering in front of a lot of people, students from the West. He said, I pulled him outside. I'm not going to mention any names, it's not necessary. But the point is, I pulled him outside. And I told him, where's the evidence? Where's his deviation, his misguidance? Show me. He said, oh, he was with so-and-so and such-and-such. No. What did he say? What did he do? Show me his book, his recording or something. Don't tell me he was with somebody. What's the proof? You declare somebody to be a deviant. Give me some evidence. Shut up then. Get out of here. This is crazy, Akhi. I don't like him, so he must be a deviant. He's not with our group. He didn't give allegiance to us. He didn't pledge to us. He doesn't agree with some things we say, so he's a deviant. Allahu musta'an. And they lie on people. They do actually lie. Big lies. Allahu musta'an. This is something that what we are reading right now from Imam Tahawi is telling us, be careful. Don't be lying on people, accusing somebody of kufr, shirk, and hypocrisy. He's a hypocrite. He looks like it. He ain't really with us. Did you see any of that? It's just in your mind? Allah, that's not permissible. So the Shaykh, he says concerning this matter, and we don't have any time left, a few minutes, 5 minutes. Alhamdulillah, we did good in 5 minutes. Right? No. You said 10, and now it's 5. Is it 5 or I'm just reading this thing?
Four minutes.
That's Imam? Zakallah said. Khalas. This is Intihad Amr. So, we're going to hurry though quickly. He said, so likewise, the disbeliever, we fear for them, but we don't say that any specific, particular individual, whatever kind of, we have seen from them righteousness or whatever, we can't say that somebody's in the paradise unless there's a textual evidence for it. And likewise for the people of hellfire and for the reasons that the Shaykh mentioned. He said, but generally we can say definitely the Muslims in the paradise and the kafirs are in the hellfire. So the Shaykh, he says here, this is the asl. This is the asl. And we don't declare anybody to be a kafir or a mushrik or a munafiq unless we see something from that. He said, al-asl fil muslim al-adala. Wa hadhihi qa'ida azima. The asl, yani the original rule, the rule that we go by, the foundation rule, is that the Muslim, he's upon uprightness. Until we see the kufr, or the shirk, or the nifaq, until we see something, the asl is a person of the Muslim, he's upright. He can't just make up stuff, because I don't know him. I've never seen him before, so what? He's a Muslim, khalas, he's upright. Until he shows you something otherwise. That's the asl. The Shaykh called this a qa'ida azima. A great, magnificent rule. That's a part of Islam. That's what we upon, the Muslims. Okay, so whoever is contrary to that, really, they're manifesting themselves. You don't have to say anything. They will manifest themselves. The asl is that the Muslim is upon uprightness. فَلَا نُسِيُ أَذْوَانْ فِيهِ. So we don't have evil thoughts or baseless suspicions about him. Just suspecting. I didn't see him coming out of a prostitution house. I didn't see him stumbling down the street with a bottle of something in a brown bag in his hand. Like, based on what? You suspicious based on what? Baseless suspicion. He said, we don't do this. We don't have these baseless suspicions of Muslims. وَلَا نَتَجَسَّسُ عَلَيْهِ. And we don't spy on him. Wallahi. Wallahi الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا هُوَ. They were sent from a country to Medina to spy on the Muslims who are not with their group. And on the way to Mecca, they were in a car accident and they died. All of them except one. That actually happened. And the one who lived said, we were sent to spy on the Muslims, who are not with our group, to find some stuff on them. That's Islam? This is not somebody, something made up. We know this is a fact, documented. They're sending people to another country to spy on Muslims who're not with them so they could try to find something? The Shaykh is saying, we don't do that. لَا نَتَجَسَّسُ عَلِيهِ. We don't spy on Muslims. وَلَا نَتَتَبَّعُهُ. And we don't investigate him trying to find something. But if something appears from him, then we judge him based on that. If we see something. And if nothing appears from him of this stuff, then we don't have unfounded, baseless suspicions of the Muslims. Rather, we treat him according to what we see, what appears from him. نُعَامِلُهُ بِمَا يَظْهَرُ مِنْهُ. What we see, not what we imagine or we wish. We have not been made responsible to search behind the people. I heard that. And to examine and investigate them. And then to make judgments upon them. That's not our responsibility. لَمْ يُكَلِّفْنَا اللَّهُ بِذَلِكَ. Allah has not tasked us with that. He has not made that our responsibility, to follow behind people, to investigate them, to search behind them and spy on people, and then make rulings upon them. And here, there's a footnote mentioned here, I'm going to read it quickly. Very, very important hadith. This hadith is reported by At-Tirmidhi, who said that the hadith is Hasan Ghareeb. And this is some technical language that requires a long, long, long investigation. Some people wrote a whole book just about what he meant by Hasan Ghareeb. Anyway, what's important is that the hadith is, inshallah, Hasan. It's not, yani, a weak, fabricated hadith. It's Hasan. Ibn Umar, radiallahu anhumah, he said, the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rose up, or got up in the minbar. And he nada bi sawtin rafi'a, and he spoke loudly in a loud voice. He called out in a loud voice, and he said, "Ya ma'ashara man qad aslama bi lisanihi, wa lam yufdi al-imanu ila qalbi." O assembly of people, yani those who what aslama bi lisanihi, person who entered Islam by his tongue, and he said, "I'm a Muslim," but iman has not entered into his heart. It's clear what he's saying, right? All you people who, your Islam is only on your tongue, but the iman is not in your hearts. He's warning. Do not harm the Muslims. And do not insult the Muslims because of their faults. And do not search and follow behind the Muslims to find their faults. For whoever follows, yani searches for the faults of his Muslim brother, Allah will search for his faults. And whoever Allah searches for the faults of someone, he will expose him. Guaranteed, he will expose him. Even if it's in the inner, deeper, most secret parts of his own home, Allah will expose him. That's a warning. Allahu musta'an, may Allah save us from such. And finally, the last part of the Shaykh's statement, Al-Imam At-Tahawi, I mean, the last part of his statement, 70th statement, وَنَظَرُوا سَرَائِرَهُمْ إِلَى اللَّهِ تَعَالَى, and we leave their secrets, yani that which they do secretly, that which we don't see, what's in their heart, what they believe, we leave that to Allah the Most High. Sheikh says, نُحْسِن أَذْظَن بِهِمْ, yani we have a good opinion, good thoughts, good expectations from the Muslims. And their secret affairs, their private affairs, what they do that we can't see, or what they believe in their heart that we don't know, we leave that to Allah. Allah has not made us responsible to investigate the people and to investigate their affairs. Well, wajib, and what is obligatory upon us? What we are required to do, what Allah has charged us with, والواجب ستر المسلم. It's obligatory to cover a Muslim's faults. You see a Muslim doing something, you know about something, cover his faults. That's what's obligatory. Not to search and spy and try to find something. What is obligatory, the Shaykh said, والواجب ستر المسلم وإحسان أذن به, and having good opinion, good expectations of the Muslims, thinking good of a Muslim. وَتَعَاخِ بَيْنَ الْمُسْلِمِينَ, and maintaining brotherhood between the Muslims. Allah says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ إِخْوَةً, indeed, the believers are brothers of one another. Surah Hujurat, Hujurat 49:10. And then there's also a footnote here, mentioned here, from Abdullah, this hadith recorded by Al-Bukhari Muslim, from Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the Muslim is the brother of a Muslim. He doesn't wrong him, and he doesn't forsake him, abandon him. And whoever is yani engaged with taking care of hajati akhi, yani the needs of your brother, attending to the needs of your brother, of his brother, then Allah will attend to his needs. And whoever grants relief to a Muslim in difficulty from some hardship, then Allah will yani relieve him from some hardship of the hardships of Yawmul Qiyamah. And whoever covers the Muslims, yani covers the Muslims' shortcomings or faults, then Allah will cover him on Yawmul Qiyamah. So, just 4 minutes, inshallah. Just one comment, Sheikh Albani, rahimahullah, He says that we do not place anyone from amongst the people of the Qibla in Jannah or Nar. He said, except the 10 people who were promised paradise. And Abdullah ibn Salam. That's another person who was promised paradise. And other than him. And this is because, rather what we do is we bear witness that a person is in Jannah based upon the testimony of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Otherwise we don't see anybody's in the Jannah or in the Nar. He said that the author, Imam al-Tahawi, has mentioned this specifically, yani in the 95th paragraph or statement. Yani we're on number 70 now, so we're going to be there soon, inshallah. And then the Shaykh says, and from the misguidance of some of the writers today and their ignorance, some of their misguidance and ignorance is that they disparage and speak ill of Abdullah ibn Salam because of the fact that he was a Yahudi before he entered Islam. And they try to put that in there, the Yahudi. And to disparage a person that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is in paradise. That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said is in paradise. And he was a Yahudi before he entered Islam. Even though the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that he's in paradise, and as mentioned in Sahih al-Bukhari, and he said, so what is the difference between the Yahudi who entered Islam and the pagan worshipper that they came from who entered Islam? He said, it's nothing more than the ignorance of nationalism and racism. That they want to claim something against him because he was a Yahudi. And you people were pagans, worshipping stones and trees. What's the difference? Then the Shaykh says, rather there is a difference. It came in the Sahihain, Bukhari and Muslim, saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, three people will have a double reward. And he mentioned from amongst them a man from the Ahlul Kitab, and who believed in his Prophet. And then he reached the time of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he also believed in him, and he followed him, and he testified to his truthfulness. That person will have a double reward. As far as the pagan from you people who entered Islam, you only get one reward. And there are lots of people, as we mentioned, but time is not with us at this moment. But I just want to read quickly from Al-Imam Ibn Abi Is. Here's a brief commentary here, and we're not going to read it. I'm just going to read one point from it, if I can find the page.
There's it's in the front, the bookmark's on the front, on the top.
Oh, it should be in the back somewhere. Here's it, right? So one point that he mentions, Ibn Abi Is, and I had hoped to read a little bit more of it, but we don't have time. But I'll just mention this one point. Well, I'll mention two points. The last thing that he said is that we don't testify against somebody with kufr, shirk, or hypocrisy unless we see something from that, and we leave the secrets to Allah. And he mentions three ayats. I'm not going to read the ayats, but I'm just going to mention them so you can go back to them. He mentions Surah Al-Hujurat 49:11, and Surah Al-Hujurat 49:12, and Surah Al-Isra 17:36. He mentions these three ayats in reference to us not having suspicion and spying on people and all of this kind of stuff. These are ayats from the Quran that clearly state this. Again, 49th surah, 11th and 12th ayat, and 17th surah, 36th ayat. And the point that I want to mention here from Al-Imam Ibn Abi Is, he said, the Salaf, and he related to testifying with somebody being in the paradise, have three opinions. What's the opinion that we heard tonight? What do we testify that somebody's in the paradise or not? No specific person, but unless there's a textual evidence, from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or otherwise, declaring that specific particular person to be in the paradise. And Ibn Abi Is said the Salaf had three opinions. So let's just hear the other opinions, even though this is the correct opinion that we already heard tonight. I'll say the correct opinion, Allahu A'lam, anyway, the Salaf. So who are we to say, right? The first opinion is that we do not bear witness for anyone that is in paradise except the prophets, the Anbiya, alayhi wasalam. And this has been translated from Muhammad ibn Hanafiyyah, one of the sons of Ali ibn Abi Talib, radiallahu anhu. And it has also been translated from Al-Imam Al-Awza'i. Rahimahullah. The second opinion is that we do bear witness that a person is in paradise for every believer that there came a textual proof of him being in paradise. Like a statement from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That's the opinion that we heard tonight. And this is the saying of many of the scholars. especially the Ahl al-Hadith, people of Hadith. And the third opinion is we bear witness for Jannah, for those people, yani who are mentioned specifically in the text, and for those who the mu'minun bear witness for, and for those who the believers bear witness for. Of course, we mean by believers, there's a lot of discussion concerning this, but in any case, we mean the believers who, like the companions of the Prophet ﷺ, that this hadith that we're going to read is in reference to, yani people of iman and taqwa, people of yani uprightness, not just the believers, yani the people who identify with Islam, and they're the people who sell drugs and prostitution and whatever. But we mean people, upright people. This is the third opinion, that whoever the believers bear witness for, and this came in Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ passed by a janazah, فَأَثْنُوا عَلَيْهَا بِخَيْرٍ, and the people praise that person with good. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَجَبَتْ, it is to be fulfilled. Another janazah passed by, فَأَثْنَا عَلَيْهِ بِشَرٍ, and the people spoke about this person ill, condemned him, criticized him. And the Prophet ﷺ said, وَجَبَتْ, it will be, yani it must happen, like that. The way the people said it, that's the way it is. In another narration that's in Sahih Muslim, though that narration in Bukhari Muslim, another in Sahih Muslim, it said that the Prophet ﷺ karrara wajabat thalatha marratan, that he repeated that, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. And if the people praised him, he said, wajabat, wajabat, wajabat. Yani that must happen, has to be. Umar radiallahu anhu said, Ya Rasulullah, ma wajabat. Yani wajabat what? What does that mean? Yani wajabat what? And the Prophet ﷺ said, antum athnaytum alayhi khayran. You people, the righteous people, the believers, have praised him with good. So it is obligatory that he must enter the Jannah. And this one, you people, athnaytum alayhi sharran. You spoke ill of him, condemned him. Wajabat lahu an-nar. So the hellfire is obligatory for him. Antum shuhada Allah fil ard. You, the believers, the upright people, are the witness of Allah in the earth. They praise somebody, that means this person is in the paradise, and the opposite. In another narration that is reported by Ibn Majah and Ahmed and Ibn Hibban in his Sahih and Al-Hakim in the Mustadrak, who said that the hadith is Sahih, and Al-Imam Al-Arnaout also said that the hadith is Hasan. In this narration, the Prophet ﷺ said, تُوشِكُونَ أَن تَعَلَمُوا أَهْلَ الْجَنَّةِ مِنْ أَهْلَ النَّارِ, that you are near, close, to knowing who are the people of paradise and the people of the hellfire. قَالُوا بِمَا يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, how can we know? He said, بِالثَّنَاءَ الْحَسَنْ وَالثَّنَاءَ السَّيِّ, by those who, the believers, the righteous, upright people, spoke good about, this is pretty much a sign that this person is in the paradise. And those who they spoke ill against is a sign that this person from the people of hellfire. فَأَخْبَرَ أَنَّ ذَلِكَ مِمَّا يُعْلَمْ بِهِ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ وَأَهْلُ النَّارِ, and he informed us in this hadith, yani of that through which it can be known who is the people of the paradise and the people of the hellfire. This is the third opinion, that we can testify that a person is in the paradise, that the believers, the upright people, praise. And Allah knows best. سُبْحَانَكَ اللَّهُمَّ وَبِحَمْدِكَ أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَسْتَغْفِرُكَ وَأَتُوبُ إِلَيْكَ. I ask Allah for myself and for each of you the regard and success in doing whatever we do, sincerely for His sake alone, in accordance with His Sunnah, and that Allah, yani out of His generosity and kindness, that He recognize, record, and reward our good deeds, and pardon, forgive, and overlook our mistakes and errors, and that He grant, yani, recovery to those amongst us who are sick, and that He shower His rahmah upon those who have passed away and fill their graves with light and make them spacious, and that He protect, that He admit them into His paradise and protect them from the hellfire, and that Allah grant relief to the Muslims in Gaza and in all of the Muslim lands and in the non-Muslim lands, wherever the Muslims are being murdered and persecuted and slaughtered unjustly, that Allah grant relief, and indeed Allah alone is the one from whom help is sought. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.